Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley here in the studio. We also welcome Stevie Nicol and Shaka Hislop to the show as we start in the Premier League, where the defending champions Liverpool now suffered back-to-back defeats at Anfield, losing 1-0 at home against Brighton. Very much been in a big dent in their title hopes. Stevie, I want to start with you. What's going wrong?
Oh dear, where do you want me to start? How long have we got?
Well, we've got a while, it's okay.
Completely lost any sort of imagination going forward. You know, as soon as any team goes to Anfield and puts bodies behind them, or puts bodies in front of their own goal at Anfield, Liverpool have no idea how to break it down. You add that to giving silly goals away, you know, the goal really today is from a mistake from Phillips, who, no fault of his, is in over his head, no composure with the clearance, completely slices it, and somehow ends up in the back of the net. Now, the truth is, Brighton deserved to win this game. Keller had a couple of tough saves to make, and Brighton did look dangerous on the break. I wish I could say that Liverpool looked dangerous up the other end, but the truth is, maybe half an hour before the end of this, I'd already resigned myself to a 0-0, and that was just before the goal. So it's not a surprise. Brighton deserved it. Liverpool going forward are completely and utterly toothless right now, and it has to change very quickly, because I didn't think they were still in the Premier League title race, to be honest. But they have to be a little careful about the top four. They can't.
Wow.
They can't continue to do this for too long.
Is that how far we've fallen?
Hold on. Stevie, if they'd won this game today, they'd have been a point behind. Is that right? Point behind Man City?
Manchester United, they would be a point behind
Man United. That surely would have kept them in the race.
I'm kind of looking at the big picture, Craig. The truth is, ever since West Brom, we're talking what, six games? And in all six games, tell a lie, West Ham. Other than West Ham, every other game, they've looked like they don't know how to put the ball anywhere close to the goal. I mean, who's going to score goals? They've got nothing from the defenders coming forward. You're not getting goals from the midfield, so you're relying on basically the front three, who right now, Mane's not even playing. Firmino's completely off form, and Salah, who we thought, after two incredible goals at the weekend, was back, but he was actually back to where he had been previously. So, you know, where are the victories coming from? It's okay to say, well, they're only so far behind, but the fact is, they don't look like they're going to beat anybody anytime soon, and that has to be a worry.
So I think numerically they were in the title race had they won today, but I think going back to what Stevie says, one of the problems is that, yeah, they had the spud on performance at West Ham. Yeah, they had the 7-0 at Palace.
Yeah.
Where it was a clinical performance rather than a dominating performance, which might sound strange when you score that amount of goals, but they almost scored with every time they were in the box. But there's been, you know, there's been the West Brom draw, the Newcastle draw, the Southampton defeat, the boring game at Old Trafford, the defeat at Old Trafford, or the boring game against Man United, and the defeat at Old Trafford in the FA Cup. There's just been too many.
Burnley at home.
Brighton away, the draw when he was whinging and moaning. And you know, the trouble is this season now, and we laughed at it at the start of the season, and in some sense so did Klopp. We laughed because we thought, well, we laughed at the Aston Villa game and thought, anomaly.
Right.
With Van Dijk, it turns out it really wasn't that much. I mean, okay, that amount of goals and the deflections, but as Klopp laughed on the touchline that everything went against him that day, maybe the signs were there, the worrying signs were there, apart from the deflected goals that went against him, that high line. The fact that they're not defending as a unit, as a team, with the, you know, Stevie talks about them going forward, and that is true. They've got nowhere near the energy or the pace going forward. The way they shift the ball from back to front, from left to right, from right to left, no team could keep up with them. That pace is gone, as well as the touch and the final decision. but they're not defending with the same aggressive nature that they were. It's almost like, well, last year we did it. You know, that's the title in the bag, and, you know, we've got injuries this year, so, yeah, you know, we might get over the line, we might not. They're just not... You know, if you remember Andy Robertson and a couple and other players last year going to close that ball down, it was like in your face, closing it down relentless. I mean, you were out of breath watching them. That's just not there, so...
Why isn't it there?
We don't know...
What's happened?
We don't know what we're going to get from this Liverpool side, and that's the problem. That's why they've been so up and down. We don't know what they're going to get. Klopp doesn't know what he's going to get. Yes, they've had injuries. What's happened is, they're, for whatever reason, whether it's the schedule, the injuries, the confidence, for whatever reason, they're not playing with the intensity that smothered teams.
Right.
I mean, literally off the bat, you know, they were on top of you with the ball and they were on top of you without the ball. It was an all-encompassing, smothering performance from Liverpool that was hard to keep up with. This year, in the main, not seen that.
So is it an inevitability of the way that Klopp plays, Stevie, that this was going to happen at some time?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we talked about why are they signing Thiago. I think one of the reasons signing Thiago was to sort of maybe calm it down and just keep the ball a little bit more, because... You know, you can only play 100 miles an hour for so long, and then fatigue is going to set in. Now, had this not been a pandemic, there would have to have been some sort of fatigue setting in anyway. But the fact that it is a pandemic, the fact that they're playing every 3 days, means that they're not going to be able to go at teams the way we used to seeing them. Those two scenes in particular where they were just absolutely magnificent. And so... you have to find a way. And they're not finding a way. And they don't look like they're finding a way. You know, eventually people were going to lose form. Unfortunately for Liverpool, the front three have all lost form at the same time. And so when you add all these things up, and then you add the injuries on top of it, then you kind of get what we're getting right now. And unfortunately for Liverpool and Liverpool's players, they're held to a standard. And whether you're tired, whether you've had too many games, whether you've lost form, you get no sympathy from anybody because you're expected to do a certain thing. And that's just the way it is. When you don't, you get criticised. And they're deserving to get criticised right now. I mean, it's hard, but unlucky.
But, I mean, most teams, you know, there's criticism and then there's an acceptance that, you know, if you're going to play... at that level, if you're competing at elite level, you can't go through the bulk of the season playing, you know, younger guys that are not going to cut the mustard long term at centre back or midfielders.
Yeah,
it's unlikely to pan out for you. I mean, even the Bayern Munichs and the Barca's and the Reals and Man City and all these other teams, they couldn't cope. That being said, if you look at the two guys that arguably may have lost form as much as others. I know the front line has been the one that's been talked about in particular. But Liverpool, when they play at their best, their full-backs and Robertson and Alexander-Arnold are one of the biggest cogs in the wheel that make the wheel spin the fastest. And those two, and I'm thinking Alexander-Arnold, but also Robertson, we're not seeing the productivity from Robertson either. And it would be no surprise that in Klopp's system and his way that he plays, the fullbacks probably have to do the biggest shift out of anybody in the field. Now, there might be some data out there that tells you the midfielder will run more on the odd occasion, but if you watch Liverpool over the last 3 years, those two boys in particular have run the whole length of the field and back for 90 minutes. That looks as if it's biting them in the backside now, because they're getting up and down, but it's laboured.
Yeah.
And you can only ask people to do it for so often. So there's lots of reasons, but I think that's a big one of them as well.
I think the one, Craig, with the two fullbacks is now they're not arriving late. Now they're actually standing on the ball. You know, previously when Liverpool were closing the ball down, they'd win it back. They would catch teams on the hop and they would come late. And then they would have so much time and space to either put balls in or run in behind. Now teams are dropping so deep, and Liverpool are taking a bit longer to get get forward and get the ball back as well, that it's kind of minimalising their productivity. I think that's as big a reason as any.
Stevie, how does he fix this?
You know, Dan, if it's a fatigue problem, then you know what? It's not going to be fixed because there isn't time to recover. There isn't time to rest people. You have to get on with it and you have to fight through it and you have to find a way. And you always hear us footballers talking about finding a way. And right now, they're not finding a way. And that has just got to do with guts, determination and a little bit of something, either to go your way or you produce something from nothing. That's the only way it happens.
City, Leicester, Leipzig and Everton. I mean, that's like
yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think they're going to be able to claw that back to Man City. I mean, right. I suppose if they beat City at the weekend, which is a big if, particularly with the players they've got missing, they might have Fabinho back. But, you know, City have been relentless. But even if they beat them, it would be...
So it'd be 4 points.
4 points
City
with
them in
a game in hand. Yeah. I mean, and Liverpool, as we've already talked about. But those four games in particular, it's just a complete make or break for your season. The whole big picture, Stevie.
Sorry, I'm thinking about, you know, we're so, right now it's like nothing can go right for Liverpool, but there's small margins. You know, when Kevin De Bruyne got injured, we all went, oh, here we go, this might change things. But guess what? City got Gundogan to step up. The guy's got 7 goals in the last nine games. The guy's assisting for fun as well. You know, they've played the same teams as Liverpool. You know, the Newcastles and the West Broms and the Burnleys and Brighton. Guess what? They only beat two of them 1-0. And they won the other ones 2-0. You know, there's not that much in it. There's just a little difference between somebody stepping up or getting a break. And right now, Liverpool have got absolutely neither.
Shaka Hislop with us. Oh, go to Shaka again. Liverpool out of the title race, Shaka. Is that it?
Yeah, I don't see Liverpool being able to catch Manchester City, given the form that City are in. Right now, for me, I think Liverpool are hoping for a top four finish. And just kind of given the way things have gone, understandably so. Listen, the truth is, before this season, Liverpool barely had an injury to deal with for two seasons. They win the Champions League, they win the Premier League, and then all of a sudden, between Klopp style, no injuries, and the pandemic, everything's getting piled into one. And you're seeing that. Right now, you take the season for what it is, you hope you finish top four, so at least you have Champions League football to look forward to next season. And you try to regroup. I know there are international tournaments this summer, but you try to get a rest, try to regroup, and try to rediscover that form that saw you lift silverware the two seasons previously.
What the hell is he doing?
I don't know what Stevie's doing.
What are you doing,
Stevie? What's all that noise?
I've got a dry throat. Because I'm not drinking beer, I'm dry.
It's all right. You've hit yourself well. Let's talk about Manchester City, of course, with that 2-0 victory over Burnley today. Stevie, are you being a bit harsh, pointing to the fact that they're only winning these games by small margins? Like today, you just feel they're in second gear. If they needed to go for it more, they could have, couldn't they?
I'm not so sure, Dan. Are you telling me that front three, and certainly going forward, they're not trying to win 6 and 7 every week? I would say they are. They're not quite managing to do it. But what they do have defensively is absolutely fantastic. They look absolutely rock solid. It's almost like they could just tell Edison not to bother. That's how good they are defensively. But I would suggest going forward, they are trying to win 6 and 7 and 8. It's just not quite happening for them, but they're finding a way. And yes, they've been dominating possession. But you know what? We're kind of over that. We know that just because you got possession doesn't mean anything other than the other team can't touch it. But it's not all plain sailing. And I think a lot of it is down to the way they are defensively.
Well, it's a good job they're getting goals from the middle of the park, isn't it? Which is a big thing that Liverpool haven't really been doing, and something you need to do, particularly if your front line are struggling. Now, you know, Jesus played today, got himself a goal early on, but quite often they've played with no striker, but Phil Foden, who didn't start, has stepped up. Stevie mentioned Gundogan, he stepped up. Riyad Mahrez on the other occasion does something special. So they've had goals chipped in from the middle of the park, which Raheem Sterling got himself one today. I'm just not convinced when I watch him in the final third anymore. Yeah. I mean, I just think he makes some bad decisions, and it's almost harping back to the Raheem Sterling of 3 or 4 years ago. I believe Aguero is on his way back, but Guardiola said himself that the COVID that he came down with has affected him a wee bit more. It's affected him even more than it seems it affected Stevie in the background. They've dominated. Look,
the two goals in 13 games. That, you know, defensive record.
He was able to leave Stones out the game before this one, give him a rest. Yep. He came back in today. Laporte went to left back. Clearly, the John Stones Diaz partnership is the one. If it came down to like a last game of the season or a Champions League final, that's the one that's playing at the moment, and it looks really good. I like Cancelo coming in there, because I think when he steps into the middle of the park, it gives him so much more than Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
And I think he's coming to his four. If they get Aguero back, you know, he said weeks, the City manager, we'll have to wait and see. That could just be the icing on the cake for them, because if he comes back and they don't pick up any more serious injuries, I don't really see anyone that's going to stop them.
One game left, meanwhile, of this midweek round of fixtures. On Thursday, it's Spurs against Chelsea. Chelsea favourites going into this tie, 11-10. Spurs, of course, bad run of late. 5-2 outsiders. We ask for your predictions. Stevie, you think this is going to be a draw? Why?
Because I don't trust either side particularly a whole lot either going forward or defensively. You know, Chelsea have looked a little flaky defensively. Spurs have. And going forward, but particularly without Harry Kane, Spurs look a little bit as if they've forgotten how to go forward. And Chelsea, right now, the front line, they look as though they just don't have anybody who can score goals. So both of these sides have got more problems than they have positives, in my opinion. So that's why I can't pick either one over the other.
Yeah, Chelsea got they've got two clean sheets under Tuchel so far, haven't they, Stevie?
No, I know, but they've given opportunities away. Because they've had clean sheets, doesn't always mean that it's all been rosy. They've had a couple of opportunities. Teams they've played against, they've given them some opportunities. Either Mendy's made a save or they've made a mess of it. So I'm not 100% on either side, to be honest. So that's why I've gone for the draw.
Well, I mean, the two games they played, Wolves and Burnley, were hardly over the halfway line.
No, I don't think Burnley had a shot until the 94th minute.
Sorry?
Burnley didn't have a shot until the 94th minute. No.
So, to be honest with you, I think, you know, obviously, there's a new manager bounce from a player coming in. They haven't played the two best teams in Wolves and Burnley, who were super defensive. But Tottenham, particularly without Kane, they just and they looked horrendous at Brighton. I mean, horrendously bad. So devoid of ideas. Bale started. He won't start.
No.
He won't start. I mean, what a waste of space he's been going in there for whatever reason. People can make their own minds up. But I just, you know, without Harry Kane, Son looks lost.
Yeah.
Defensively, they've had their issues. He'll play. I don't think Tuchel will change. I think it'll be that three at the back again. Interesting thing is going to be whether Alonso plays or whether it's Chilwell. That's a kick in the backside for Chilwell. But we know Alonso has played well as a wing back in previous years, just not played a lot. And both teams need to win. But I think, you know, Chelsea still got bigger ambitions in the top four than this Tottenham side, and that's why I think Tottenham or Chelsea will win this game.
Shaka, we have put Stevie's mic down so we can hear you clearly through the coughing and the phlegm, and goodness knows what else. You've gone for a Chelsea win as well.
Yeah, I have. For a couple of reasons. One, with Chelsea, at least you see what they're trying to do under Thomas Tuchel. He's gone to his more experienced players and based it on a possession-style game. And I think that slowly but surely kind of gets better. You saw that against Wolves, slight improvement against Burnley, all right, it was Burnley. But I think you see what they're trying to do Whereas with Spurs, especially without Harry Kane, and looking at that Brighton game, it was just dour. And my concern is it's going to, for Spurs, it's going to stay this way for a few more weeks before they pick up. So almost by default, in Chelsea at least having a direction, they get the 3 points.
We'll, of course, be focusing on that game on the next edition of the show. Be sure to join us. And by the way, Jurgen Klinsmann, of course, a feature writer on ESPN FC this season. He's talking about the task in hand that Thomas Tuchel has to get success back at Chelsea. He's also on tomorrow's show.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a game in the Copa del Rey. Barca were 2-0 down in the 88th minute against Granada. Two late goals, though, for Ronald Koeman's side would force extra time. Barca would take the lead in extra time. Granada with the equaliser, then two late goals to see Barca advance. Extraordinary stuff there. Julien Laurent is with us. Jules, a cup tie, that had pretty much everything. What a match.
Incredible night, really, and an incredible win for Barcelona. I think a defeat, considering the good run of form going into this game, the fact that they were a huge favourite, the fact that Ronald Koeman put a really strong team from the start as well. A defeat at Granada, I think, would have been a big setback from what we've seen recently. But the fact that they came back and won it the way they won it, the way they played, apart from, of course, some defensive injury mistake that they will have to cut out, and they looked at times really dodgy defensively. But I think the team spirit, the mentality, that togetherness in those key moments, I think will be huge tonight, and I think that will make them a lot of good as well to have that and to build on something, on what happened tonight. I think it's a huge win, more psychologically really than anything else.
And what a game for Antoine Griezmann, Jules.
Yeah, and if you remember, on January the 9th, Barcelona played away at Granada in the league, and he scored two goals. And that night, we said, OK, maybe this is a turning point. He had a long goal drive before that game. There was obviously the little break at Christmas. And we said, OK, he played really well that night. He scored those two goals. And we said, there's something there happening that we didn't see before. Maybe that break did him a lot of good physically. He looked refreshed. He looked like, with more desire, more willing, more enthusiasm, more energy. Him and Messi got on really well during that game back in Granada, that first game. And since then, he hasn't really looked back. I think he's 6 goals, 7 if you count the first one, although I think that would be an own goal. And 5 assists in the last 8 games in all competitions. So he's on a great run. And you saw today that him and Messi, clearly the relationship is there. But also, he's far more decisive in what he does. They look for him as well, and he's a completely different player than what we saw at the beginning of December, for example.
So, good day for Barcelona. The same can't be said, though, for Real Madrid. Currently sitting third in La Liga after a disappointing defeat at the weekend. And more bad news for them regarding Eden Hazard today. He'll be out for at least a month, meaning that he'll miss the Champions League ties against Atalanta for La Liga matches as well, leading up to this. This signing just gets worse and worse, doesn't it, Jules?
Yes, worse and worse. It's an absolute nightmare. And of course, you could put responsibility on Hazard himself, although at Chelsea, he never had those that kind of injury record, really. But since arriving at the club, it's been a disaster, really. We have to be honest. As good as he is, as promising as he can be sometimes when he plays, this is just not good enough to miss so many games, to be such a burden for this club, for this team, when clearly they bought you for all that amount of money to build the team around you, almost for you to be such a key part of that team, and yet you've never been there because you've never been able to play and really give your best. And I think this is another huge setback, even for him. I mean, mentally, psychologically, it must be so hard, because it's also not his fault. It's not his fault if Thomas Meunier almost broke his ankle when PSG played against Real Madrid at the start of last season. Mm-hmm. You know, this is nothing to do with Eden Hazard. And we had this argument with Alejandro Moreno not long ago, because he said, yeah, but, you know, he was overweight when he joined the team for pre-season and this and that. Okay, I understand that. But he's always been like that, even at Chelsea. And yet again, he never had those injuries at Chelsea. I think he's been really unlucky. But of course, he has to be now one of the worst signing that they've ever made.
At least 100 million. They paid for him, and of course he was.
Well, I don't think he's helped himself, but then the other scenario is, like, it's Mother Nature. He's getting older,
yeah.
And the older you get, the harder you have to push yourself, and the more injuries you get, and then you start chasing your fitness and rushing back from injuries at times, and it just compounds itself. I mean, and then, you know, you add the luck into that, or the bad luck as well, and then it just snowballs. It can happen for players like that. I mean, it really can. Everybody's body is different, and when you're a player, if you know you're susceptible to injuries, then if you want to prolong your career like the top guys, like Ronaldo, like Messi, you have to adjust your lifestyle.
Right.
The question would have to be asked with Eden Hazard: has he adjusted his training schedule, his lifestyle, his game, all of these things? As every year's gone past and he gets older and he picks up even more injuries, it becomes more difficult. I know, I've been there and I've seen other players. I've seen it happen to them. And it's a never-ending cycle once this happens. Unless you can take a long, long period off and really rehab properly and reassess, this is probably going to just continue through the rest of his career.
And what's interesting, kind of compelling to the struggles that he's had, we talk about the game against Atalanta. Him being available or not available doesn't really make too much of a difference, does it, to the discussion, considering how little he's contributed over the last 18 months?
No, and that was the big move that he wanted, wasn't it? I mean, he carried Chelsea for a long, long time. I mean, he was the talisman. And he went in there with a reputation that he could somewhat fill the void left by Ronaldo. Nobody's going to fill that void totally. We understand that. But he was going to go in there and he was going to help drive this team. But you saw the graphic there. He's missed more games than he's played. And for the money that they're spending on transfers and wages, that is for Real Madrid just not going to cut the mustard.
So Real Madrid against Atalanta in the knockout stages of the Champions League. The bookies have got Real Madrid big favourites, but I tell you what, that's not bad value for the Italian side.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Lille remain top of the table in Ligue 1 after a 3-0 victory away against Bordeaux. Meanwhile, Lyon beat Dijon 1-0 to remain second, PSG third after their 3-0 victory at home against Nîmes. Julien Laurent joins us. And we were talking with Craig and Frank Leboeuf yesterday about the proposed new contract for Neymar that's been reported. They were suggesting that it isn't the right move.
Why?
Craig was citing
it. Frank was.
Well, you were saying it was a lack of ambition for Neymar?
I think so, yeah.
Well, hey, what? Don't pretend I'm lying. That's what you said. Why are you pulling a face?
Well, put it one way. We all talk about Messi going to PSG. I thought Neymar wanted out of Barcelona to get out of the shadows of Lionel Messi, right?
Yeah.
So there's another conundrum if that happens. And that's still enough at the moment.
Frank, meanwhile, just super unimpressed with Neymar overall, Jules.
Yeah, and we can discuss, you know, his 4 years already at the club. He arrived in 2017, 3.5 years. He's played 101 games. He's missed a lot of games through suspension, injuries, his sister's birthday, whatever reasons that he wanted to take. He still scored a lot of goals, gave a lot of assists. There was a Champions League final. There were league trophies, cups, etc. I mean, he has played in more Champions League finals since leaving Barcelona than Barcelona themselves. So I'm not sure where the lack of ambition is. They said to him that they would build competitive teams around him if he signs the new deal, which he will do. They're all very optimistic that in the next few years they can compete again, maybe for winning the Champions League and be in that conversation. So I can understand, you know, why he wants to stay. He also knows, and we all do, that no one else right now in Europe, in the whole world, would have offered him the same money, the same advantages that he has currently in Paris. This is a fact. You know, he's going to stay on the same amount of money, but there are huge wages, and there's no one else in Europe who would have paid a transfer fee for him and then given him the same wages. So he also knew that the right decision in terms of financially was to stay in Paris.
But surely it can't just be about the money now, Jules, for this player, because, you know, at the end of the day, there's a title race on this season at the moment in France. But if PSG win the league this year and next year, nobody's really going to bat an eyelid, and it's all hinging on the Champions League. And, you know, I think even Leboeuf said yesterday, you know, like, you know, with all respect in the world, you know, the French league is one of the last ones out of the big European league that everyone looks at for who's going to win the title or the results on a weekend. So it kind of smacks of, yeah, want to stay for the money and want to stay because it's very comfortable for him. No?
Yeah, it is, certainly domestically. But then again, they were in the Champions League final 6 months ago. So in a way, he almost succeeded in what he went there for, which was winning the club, the Champions League, his first Champions League. And I think that would be his first one since 2015, by the way. So, you know, I still think that he may think, I've got a good chance at this club right now to be able to do it, especially if we keep building good teams, solid teams, if Kylian Mbappe stays, if Messi comes, you know, whatever they do in terms of transfers, ins and outs in the next few months and few seasons. And also, okay, it's not like if on the table he had Liverpool and Manchester City or Juventus or Bayern Munich and then PSG and he still chose PSG. It's also because, again, I don't think there would have been many right now fighting for him for him to sign there. So, again, I think in the current context, it was the right decision for him to stay, and certainly for PSG, the right decision to keep him.
A lot more from Jules on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast that drops on a Thursday. Be sure to check it out. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday saw the first leg of the other semi-final in the Coppa Italia. Napoli getting a 0-0 draw against Atalanta. All those games available on ESPN Plus. And just a reminder, for more on Italian soccer, be sure to download the latest edition of the Serie A podcast, which dropped today. Good game is now on Friday for you. Fiorentina taking on Inter Milan. Coverage of that match starts at 2:45 Eastern here on Plus. That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has joined us.
Even the coffin man.
The coffin man.
Coffin. Not coffin.
The coffin. Well,
coffin.
He will be back for extra time along with Shaka, Jules and Craig to answer your questions. Stay tuned. Welcome into Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Craig hates this studio and has a bad back, so this should be fun. Stevie Nichols, Julianne Leroy, and Shaka Hislop are with us.
Well, it's not the studio.
That's not why
I've got a bad back.
No, no, but the two will be contributing factors to your mood.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, the length of this Extra Time will be a contributing factor.
You've got shown a bit of a chest hair today.
I haven't got any.
What do you mean? I can see it from here.
Oh, it must have grown this morning.
I don't know what to say to that. Are City finally ready to win the Champions League, Craig, or at the bare minimum make the semi-finals?
Well, it's interesting because they might not have a choice.
What do you mean?
Because under the guidelines from UEFA, if because of the COVID, if these games can't be played and the home side in the knockout can't find a neutral venue, I believe a team will go through on the coefficient.
God, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
So our colleague, Dale Johnson, was at ESPN UK, was talking about this the other day. Jules, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it might not... There could be a scenario where UEFA decides who goes through.
Oh.
Is that correct?
Yes, but I think that's really, really extreme. They will have to go, to play one leg first. And even if that can't be possible, I think the last resort has to be the coefficient. It's still better than a coin toss, I guess. But I think that's really the last resort, extreme situation.
Sorry, I should have just answered the question.
Yeah, you should.
Well, I knew that was a scenario that is not out of the question, but it would be...
Right. Thanks for bringing it up.
If we're going to do that, you might as well just scrap it. That's what I would say. I'm not having a team winning the championship.
Well, they probably won't have to do it, so let's just address the question.
Have you not seen the pandemic?
Yes, I know, but they found a way to do it last year, didn't they?
I would say if they get Aguero back, and that's a big if with what he's missed, if they get Aguero back, I don't know. If they get Aguero back,
they should be fine without Aguero, shouldn't they?
Well, they're okay beating.
How'd you clear that up?
Yeah, but there are no other teams, are there? Bayern Munich, the rest of the teams are rubbish.
Really?
Yeah. That's it. That's my take on it all. Stevie, are you okay? You seem to be having some issues.
Oh, I've had a dry throat the whole show, man.
When you have a drink?
I did. I've got it's over there in the corner.
Water.
What are you drinking?
Not what you think.
Well, then I'm just asking what you want. Are you drinking water?
No, I'm not drinking water. I'm drinking.
Oh, lovely. God, is that a very small can or have you got very big hands, Steve?
Well, that dehydrates you.
I should do it.
Surely water would be better than soda.
Well, I might dehydrate you later, but what it'll do is it'll open the passageway now, which is all that really matters.
Nonsense.
Yeah. Well, sounds good though, doesn't it?
You don't want to know that passageway. you don't want to know what's going down.
Just lying with shepherd's pie in mind. Okay. Why
we won that yesterday.
Why do players like Martial take so much criticism, Jules, for a dive, while Kane goes under players creating dangerous situations and is barely discussed?
I mean, I guess it's the I don't know the description of the referees. I think it's been highlighted now that Harry Kane has a special Harry Kane move to try to get a foul. But we saw against Liverpool that in the end that cost him an injury. So he might not do that one anytime soon again after coming back. So it's hard. There's a lot of things this week that I think have been very difficult to understand why some decisions are given at times. We saw with the Anthony Martial penalty against Southampton, who really didn't need another penalty and a red card and a goal in that game already in the Wolves-Arsenal game. I mean, there's so much inconsistency this week so far in the games that we've seen that it's quite hard to understand and to follow even.
Why are you tapping the table?
Why not? My answer to that.
Pardon?
Why not?
I don't know why. It's like in a frustrated way. Don't fidget, it's annoying. Right, Shaka.
I'm going to do it more if I'm annoying.
Shaka, was Jesse Lingard the missing ingredient for West Ham United? A brace on his debut.
kind of seems like it, right? Two good goals, good debut for Jesse Lingard. It's working. And I have to say, working a whole lot better than I thought.
Craig, would the appointment of Thomas Tuchel give Chelsea a bit more chance against Atletico Madrid to go through, considering that he has the experience of managing the teams in the knockout stages of the Champions League?
Possibly. I mean, he's got more experience than Lampard. It's not up for debate. So, I think that's one of the reasons that the ownership brought him in, is to stabilise the whole ship and get the best out of the personnel that's there, that clearly the owner and his staff believe that they're much better equipped than where they are at the moment. Simple as that. And that's why Lampard lost his job. One of the reasons he lost his job.
You're quite a statement. Atletico, one of the best teams in Europe at the moment.
Yeah.
Jules, could Aguero to Barcelona be...
So it would give him a better chance, would be the answer to the question.
Good.
So rather than your smart-ass comments.
Which ones? Jules, could...
Atleti being the best in...
They are.
Well, I know, but that wasn't part of it.
No, but I'm just saying, that would be an incredible statement. You could argue that Atleti are up there with...
Well, the question was, would he give him a better chance?
Yes.
And the answer to that would be yes.
And I just added a little appendix to it, saying what a statement that would
yes,
be.
Yes, the usual sort of smart Alec, smart ass.
There was not smart Alec. How is that smart Alec? It's a fact. Atleti are one of the best teams in Europe at the moment. That's it.
As you can tell by the tone. You can tell by the tone, Dan, when
start.
You come out with your little comment.
Don't you start.
Yeah, you're looking at fans, can't. It's the tone.
Mr. Mendy was man of the match against Burnley.
As my wife, and I'm sure yours does, she always says, it's not how, what you said, it's how you said it.
Well, let's not get into that.
You lost a bit of timber since you've been off the beers. You look as if you lost a bit of timber.
A couple.
One of your chins is gone.
Which one? Which one? There's still a few there.
You've given it to me.
that's why the beard, there. Yeah. You had to cover the extra... Anyway, Jules, could Aguero to Barcelona be a good deal for both parties, considering they don't have a number 9 and Aguero is free in the summer?
So there's no free, please, there's no free transfers. That doesn't exist. It will cost them a big signing on fee, the big commission for the agent, big wages as well. He hasn't played this season. He's hardly played. So unless he proves his fitness and he proves that if they sign him and they make an effort for a club, remember, who has no money whatsoever, we can hardly pay the current own players, Aguero will still cost them significant amount of money. And if you sign him and he never plays because he's still not fit from this season, there's no point. However, we saw with Luis Suarez, for example, that sometimes you can get a 30-plus player, striker, and if you put him in the right environment and if he stays sort of fit, that can work in La Liga. So maybe, but I still think it's a huge risk.
Jules, Don keeps telling me Harry Kane to City's a done deal this summer.
Harry Kane to City?
Yes.
Yep. In Don's world, maybe.
Don's world.
Don has So was that Don? Was it Don the pundit that said that, or was it Don the journalist?
I don't know.
In fact, they tweeted me the same thing. So I'd said something.
On his maybe a football manager.
Yes, maybe.
In his team, he signed him. More seriously, City will have to go for a striker anyway. Whether that's Harry Kane, Erling Haaland, whoever they want to buy, they will need to go because Aguero, they won't keep Aguero. There's no, right. I would find it really, really strange if they give an extension to Aguero. So you need another number nine. Go and get one, considering they won't be able to spend a crazy amount because they don't have that money, because it's a pandemic, because of all the reasons that we all know. So they will have to be very clever in the way they go and sign someone, and Harry Kane will cost 200 million euros. So well, I'm not sure right now they've
Don
got that kind of money. Done.
Where's he getting his info?
I don't know.
Oh, I've dropped my mic. Is it his football friends?
Maybe it's maybe Jody Morris.
Jody or Frank Lampard.
Exactly.
God, I hate these.
What do you hate?
These packs. Yeah, he tweeted me, so how about it?
Yeah.
Like a bit with one of these green texts at the end of it, Kane, done.
Yeah, he goes to me, Dan, off the record, it's a done deal. Oh, I shouldn't have said it. Anyway, right. Mohamed Salah or Cristiano Ronaldo, who is more determined to score every time, Stevie?
I'll tell you what, Ronaldo takes a bit of beating, let's be honest. It's got to be Ronaldo. I mean, we would sit together watching games and we'd be like, no, you can't try and shoot through there. He would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to go Ronaldo.
Hey, it's his new AirPods.
What colour are they?
I think they're black.
Are they?
Yeah. It just fell off.
One's fallen off.
I was going to say that.
One's fallen into the...
Well, I tried to act all cool and if nobody noticed it.
That's all right, Stevie, that's good. When are you going to admit, Shaka, that Ruben Dias is the greatest centre-back that ever lived?
Right now.
Yep, that's it. Go on, then.
That's it.
Make the statement.
Ruben Dias is the greatest centre-back that ever lived.
There we are.
What's the context of this?
Just life. I don't think Shaka said anything.
The context is we tried to move on.
Yeah, this gentleman is just a
context.
Big fan of Ruben Dias.
Oh, sorry, yeah. If you could get back to his another day and see if he's a big fan of Shaka's sweater.
Right, yes, Shaka really making an effort today. Stevie.
What's wrong with this sweater?
Well, nothing 15 years ago. and 3,000 washes.
Yeah. Must be cold in the house, no heating, obviously.
It is, that's why he's got the long sleeve.
Stevie, Craig and Shaka, what were your professional debuts like? Were any eventful as the Southampton lad who got sent off after a minute?
Yeah, well, he didn't get dragged out the bar.
You were drinking, weren't you, before?
Yes.
Yeah, because you weren't supposed to be playing.
Correct.
I
played in the reserves the day before.
Yeah.
And I was in the bar drinking because I wasn't supposed to be playing. I was 18 and... I was aged to drink, by the way, and I was having a couple of beers and some chips.
Nice.
And I got the door burst open, Ed in his vest came in and said, "You're playing."
Wow.
Top that.
And how did you play?
My memory's vague.
Well, you're drunk. You're blacked out.
And I got cramp very early on. No, I wonder why. So, yeah, dragged out the bar. And it was a big game. Swindon at home in the Zenith Data Cup.
Wow.
Wow. Because Andy Townsend had a hernia problem.
Yeah.
Did he nothing. He didn't want to play.
Well.
Andy.
Stevie, your debut?
Away at Arbroath. I came on for the last 10 minutes. Unfortunately, by then, I couldn't feel my toes because Arbroath is right on the water. It's famous not for football, but for smokies. Arbroath smokies. So I can't remember whether I kicked the ball, but even if I did, I wouldn't have felt it because my feet were like ice. So
you're going to have to explain what brothies are, Stevie.
Smokies.
Smokies.
Yeah, Craig will tell you.
Smokies. Why can't you tell me?
Fish, isn't it?
Because I can't even remember. It's fish. I can't even remember what game. What kind of fish is it?
Smoky. I don't know.
Right.
Broth.
I don't know.
Yeah, you
know where broth is.
It's
famous for smokies, but not being able to know what smoky is.
Hold fort for us a minute.
I can't remember.
Right. Shaka, your debut.
My debut came for Reading in the old second division, what's now League One. Away to league leaders West Brom. Ozzy Ardiles was
my debut. Stevie.
Have you got it?
Yes, it's an Arbroath Smoky. It's a type of smoked haddock.
Oh, thank goodness.
Haddock.
A speciality in the town of Arbroath in Angus, Scotland.
Wonderful. Lovely. Good to know. Wonderful. Jules, what was your debut like in the fourth tier of French football?
It was not a really good one, the first game. I came on late and I made a couple of mistakes, but we still won the game, so that was fine.
Oh, no. Then you never played again. Now you got a podcast with Gab. Lucky you.
Yep.
Shaka, as a goalkeeper.
Oh, even I've got a cough now.
Shaka, as a goalkeeper, what would you prefer in set plays? Ball coming into you or going out?
Oh.
Coming in.
In-swinger?
In-swinger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you prefer to defend, Stevie? In or out?
I would say in as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easier to attack it.
Final question. Jules, what do you choose? Another 4 years with Neymar or sell him to get money to invest and win the Champions League like Liverpool did with Coutinho and the throwing coach?
You can't ask me that. That's so mean. That's so unfair. And you do that 3 days before his birthday.
Wow.
Which is on Friday, by the way. Big Zoom party.
Wow.
What do I do? Is there an option where I can keep him and still win the Champions League?
No.
Or not?
No.
Are you going to break lockdown are you breaking lockdown?
I'll send him then.
And going to a Neymar party?
No, it's a Zoom party.
Zoom party.
Where's your partner, Gab?
Have you worked it out yet or not?
You're taking Gab with you and he's just going to... he's going to bomb Neymar about financial fair play for an hour and a half.
But Gab doesn't have the dress sense.
No, that's very true.
Yeah, that's...
Are you sure Neymar wouldn't want him in a big Philadelphia Eagles
top? To be fair, I would like to see Gab wearing those linen trousers that he wears with Shaka's sweater.
Shaka's sweater, yeah.
And then the big jacket that Gab wears.
The 20-pocket jacket.
With the pockets with grenades in it and all sorts. Yes. I just don't know what he's got.
Oh, goodness. Right, that's it. We're done.
All
what
angles,
a lot of nonsense.
All angles covered, Jack.
Ah, a Broth Smokies. We learn something new every day. We'll be back.
Yeah, smoke haddock.
Yeah, don't say it as if you know it.
I didn't even know it at the time. I didn't go to Broth.
That's it. Good. Goodbye.
Bye.